Run DNA has an extensive range of running and walking footwear. They're trusted by podiatrists and physiotherapists. The Run DNA fitter's advice is second to none. Pop into Run DNA, 20 Manton Street, Hindmarsh, or 391 Fullerton Road, Fullerton. They're open 7 days, plenty of off-street parking. If you walk or run, you need to Run DNA.
Welcome to Hooked on Sport. This is South Australia's weekly sports wrap, where we uncover the stories, personalities and moments that define sport across South Australia. It's time for Hooked on Sport with two-time Bradman medalist Ben Hook and state golf representative Sophie Hilditch.
Hello everyone and welcome to a very special episode of Hooked on Sport. As usual, it's Ben Hook and Sophie Hilditch joining you. But joining us is a very special and incredibly talented guest. Hey, Soph.
Yes, Hookie. She is South Australia's new queen of the Commonwealth. We're talking about Kiana Elliott. She's just won a gold medal in the 59 kilogram weight class at the Commonwealth Weightlifting Championships over in India. And she has been good enough, Hookie, to join us and tell us all about it. Kiana, a huge congratulations and welcome to Hooked on Sport.
Thanks so much, guys. Absolute pleasure to be here.
Kiana, now this is a serious event, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this win virtually guarantees you entry into the 2026 Commonwealth Games. You must be thrilled.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited. I did not expect to win this one. There were those direct qualification spots up for grabs for those who won each weight class at this year's Commonwealth Championships. So, yeah, super, super exciting to have that in the bag. And we can focus on what's next.
Now, I've done strength and conditioning training, so I know what the clean and jerk might be, albeit I can only actually do it with the 20 kilogram bar and that's it. And I don't put any weights on the end of it. So call me a bit naive to the sport of weightlifting, but could you explain for myself and the listeners what exactly you've just competed in and what weightlifting moves were actually involved in the process?
Yeah, for sure. So weightlifting is a really, really simple sport. It's the big long barbell and we're basically a biathlon. So we've got the two movements. We've got the clean and jerk that you mentioned there. So that's the movement that's split in two. So it's the barbell goes from the ground up to the shoulders. Mm-hmm. And so you often see the press always zoom in on that lifter's face while they're struggling to breathe under however much weight is on there. And then the move is called the jerk to get the bar above their head. That's often where they split one foot forward and one back. So that's the clean and jerk. That's the second part of the sport. The first part of the sport is called the snatch, and that is ground to overhead in one smooth movement. So it's done with wide grip. That is the one I'm a little bit better at, a little bit partial to. But yeah, that is the entire sport. So in a competition, you get three attempts at the snatch, three attempts at the clean and jerk. You can only go up in weight, and your best snatch and your best clean and jerk are added together to make your total. And that's what you get medals in at Commonwealth Games and Olympic Games. And that's what I won gold in the total.
Let's just talk about what you lifted to win gold. Just give us sure. the weights for the snatch and the clean and jerk, please, Kiana.
Yeah, so competing in the 58-kilo class, I snatched 100 kilos, so triple digits, and that is a Commonwealth record. So best done by anyone at that body weight in the Commonwealth, and that's spanning, over 27 years now. And for the clean and jerk, I did 112 kilos. So coming up to double body weight, but not quite there just yet. It's definitely on the horizon and working towards that.
Kiana, I love the way you talk about that as if you vacuum the back floor or something like that. It was all fairly straightforward, lifting double your body weight. Your gains have been quite steady all throughout your career. I mean, Kiana, you and I have been speaking for 7 years now since you first made your way to South Australia from New South Wales, and we'll cover across your career. But it looks to me like you continue to be making very, very steady but regular gains. What's the peak for a weightlifter?
Yeah, look, it's really, I really think it's in the athlete's hands, Ben. I've been around in this sport doing it for 12 years now. That's quite a long time. And I've heard, people sort of peak mid to late 20s. Well, I'm late 20s now. I think sport's really hard in Australia. It's It's one thing to, you know, do sport alongside school. It's one thing to do sport alongside uni. But then to balance sport, which may or may not be giving you any income, with work and trying to compete with the best in the world is a really, really hard thing to do as an adult. So I think as I've gotten older, I've gotten maybe a little bit smarter at the way I approach it. It's definitely been a rocky road and a roller coaster of a way through, but it has been very nice to see, especially in the last couple of years, to see personal bests and my best ever performances. And I still think there's more on the horizon, which is why I'm still sticking at it.
Yeah, 100%. It does sound like there's definitely more on the horizon for you. Touching on what you just said then, how have you managed that work-life balance with sport and working and study and everything else?
Yeah, I don't know that I've managed it the best. So when I moved here, I moved here to make it to Tokyo. It was the best option for me at that time. It was 2019 when I moved to Adelaide, so 2020 Olympic Games were only a year away, and then obviously everything changed in 2020. But I left my part-time study, university, in Sydney, and I sort of thought, oh yeah, I'll just be here for a year. I'm pursuing a year and a bit, pursuing the Olympic Games. I'll come back to it afterwards. And I never did. I first put a call when I moved down here was to find work, and then that became a government role and a permanent government role. And so when you have something like that, also when you pull away from uni, you sort of think about it and you go, well, what am I actually getting out of this? So to make a decision to go back in as an adult now, having had some time out, is a very different decision indeed. How do I go about balancing it? Well, you take a hit on your income, because trying to work full time and be the best athlete you can be and trying to compete against full time athletes is, you can't. It's not. You burn yourself out really, really quickly. You can kid yourself that maybe you can do it for a few months. But if you really, really want to be the best you can be, you've got to be putting sports your priority 24/7. It informs every decision you make. So it means at the moment I'm working part-time. It means I take a hit on my income. I don't earn anything from sport. At the moment, I'm very lucky to be able to be funded to go away and compete, which is awesome, because if I had to pay this out of pocket, it wouldn't be happening. But yeah, it's people say in sport there's sacrifices. To be the best, you sacrifice so much. It absolutely is. But you do it because you want to do it and because you think you can do it. And that's what keeps driving me.
The drive is pretty incredible, Kiana. And I've followed your career pretty closely, considering that we've spoken as journalist and athlete for a number of times now, and I can recall post Tokyo speaking to you often. You missed the Paris Olympics, and you missed despite being the Oceania champion. I mean, you can't do much more than that, but clearly just the qualifying numbers you didn't quite reach. How did you manage that disappointment and continue to have that fire in the belly to strive for another attempt at Olympic Games?
Yeah, there's been a lot of misses and there's been a lot of quote-unquote failures in my career. I was in the mix for Rio as an 18-year-old and I should not really have been, but I had two shots at the clean and jerk. I needed to be the sole single female Australian weightlifter that went to Rio, and I missed them both. I got stuck halfway up on this 113 kilos and I fought it for 7 seconds, and it's like pushing against a solid block of concrete. 7 seconds in weightlifting is a long time. So I felt that disappointment, all that hope and that exhilaration and putting everything in towards this Olympic dream, something I wanted since I was a six-year-old kid. I'd felt all of that and gone through the process of dealing with the aftermath of that. With 2016, because I missed out on the Olympic Games, I got to go to the Junior Worlds that year, and that was the year I won two medals, a silver and a bronze, which was unprecedented for an Australian. It hadn't been done in over 15 years, so there was very much two sides to that. Then we had the Home Commonwealth Games in the Gold Coast in 2018. I was leading in the category I was in at the time. And at the very, very last trials, I got pipped by 1 kilo by a more experienced lifter and missed out on that one too. So Tokyo, I really, really wanted to earn it, and I did. Birmingham 2022, I went. 2024 was Paris Olympic Games, was hard for reasons that were outside of my control. There were governance and decisions made between the International Olympic Committee and the International Weightlifting Federation that meant there were many, many less weightlifters in Paris in 2024. So in terms of numbers of athletes, there are about 50% of the athletes in Paris in terms of numbers in weightlifting compared to Rio. That meant it was a much, much, much harder task to qualify. So despite doing a career best, and based on a couple of decisions we made, we wanted to be more competitive in a particular weight class, so we picked this weight class. It meant I didn't earn a spot. So what keeps driving me to keep going? I think, honestly, after Tokyo, I thought I'd be done. And I don't know. A lot of athletes talk about retirement, right? And I think with anything, you talk about retirement. You want to write your own story and finish when you feel finished. Again, what does feeling finished feel like? I really thought with Tokyo I'd be done. But I didn't really feel that. I didn't live for a good, gosh, it would have been at least 2 months post Tokyo. So we had the 2 weeks in quarantine, which I remember speaking to you from a hotel room in Sydney, Ben, and then 2 weeks in home quarantine. And then I just thought, nah, I need a break from lifting. Similar with Paris after the end of that. But the overwhelming feeling, immediate feeling was, nah, I can do better than what I did. I'm capable of that. I'm capable of being better. It was definitely a lot to process all the effort that went in, because you sideline everything else in your life. The Olympic Games is something that happened once every 4 years, and you've got to be your absolute, absolute best to get there in some cases, and to perform there. So you put absolutely everything into it. So everything else in your life is on the back burner for a good amount of time. And then you've got to process the result of that effort. It took a lot. It took a lot. But in the depths of my heart, if you want to go that philosophical, I knew I could do more. So that was why I wanted to keep pursuing weightlifting. For a while, I found it really hard to try. There were some events that I pulled out of late last year, because as much as I wanted to physically and mentally, I needed a break. And then I was able to, from about this time last year, was able to just start building back. Sophie, you said you've clean and jerked the bar, the empty barbell in the gym. It was about September, October last year. I thought, right, okay, let's give weightlifting a crack again. I started with the barbell and I added 5 kilos a week, and just very, very gradually started to build back up. Brick by brick, just very progressively, and started to see that, not really knowing what would happen and not really putting a huge expectation on it, knowing that there were events this year I wanted to do. But I think it was around April where I got a personal best, like a real personal best. You do this for a long time, you don't get personal best very, very often. I got a personal best in the jerk, so shoulders to overhead, and I hadn't. It had been 3 years since I'd done a personal best, and that felt pretty sweet. It's building systems. I think as I've gotten older, I've built better systems, tried to work with myself a little bit better, and I think we've seen the results of that this year, but we're still learning and working and trying to figure out how to be better in the way that I can.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's taken a lot of mental strength to get where you are, and it sounds like there's plenty more left in your tank. You mentioned that you dropped in weight class and you've dropped down to the 58 kilos. What were the challenges in that transition, and what really drove you to make that change in the weight class as well?
Yeah, weight classes are annoying, frustrating, but they're also part of the sport. This in my time in the sport, they've changed a couple of times for reasons again outside of my control. With the Olympic Games, they've had certain weight classes in the games and certain not. We picked 58 this year under a lot of deliberation, a lot of thinking about it, because when you push your body weight down for a sport, it affects everything else. So we all know, very prominent in society, people want to lose weight, right? It's a simple equation of energy in versus energy out, right? However, you push your body to the limits and you push the energy in to certain thresholds over time, it has an effect. It has a physiological effect, it has a psychological effect, and it means, it does mean sometimes I have less energy than I want to put to other areas. And I know that given my whole background in sport and in weightlifting, I'm susceptible to the stuff that comes with that. It's a decision I've made, and I've done it with support, really, really great support here from Sassy's dietitians, so that we can do it as intelligently as possible and in the best way possible. But it's certainly hard.
What have you come down from, Kiana?
Yeah, I've been all
over
the place.
What was your heaviest weightlifting?
Oh God, let's not go there.
Can't believe I'm asking this. Asking about a woman's weight. When were you really heavy? This is under normal circumstances, this is totally inappropriate.
Yeah, but weight class sports make it all right, right? So I started as a gymnast, right? And so gymnastics, you want to be small. So we started getting weighed around, oh gosh, I would have been about 12. So we were aware of it. I came into weightlifting and stepped into my first competition, stood on the scales at 63. The weight class was 63. So we went, right, that's my weight class. And then over time, I sort of tried to figure out, okay, well, what's a good weightlifter? Weightlifters sort of train heavier and compete lower. So 63, 69 was the next class. Then the weight class has changed. So it became 63, became 64. I was the 64 in Tokyo at those Olympic Games. Then for 2022 Commonwealth Games, through the direct qualification spot, someone else, another Australian, got the 64 kilo spot, which meant I had no choice. So I went up to 71 for the 22 Commonwealth Games. I wasn't a full 71, but I did compete in that class. And then for Paris, we decided the Olympic classes were 59 and 71. And I really was sort of more happy around 64. But I had those two choices, and we thought, well, I went to Tokyo, and for me, it was about going. It was about being a part of the Olympic Games, earning a spot on the team. Paris, I could have gone as a 71. I could have. It's hard to say because these are how things panned out, right? But in the end, for Paris, as a 59, I needed 216 total, snatch and clean and jerk together. As a 71, I would have needed 215. Which
that
is,
makes no sense to me at all.
It doesn't, but it's just how things pan out, right? But we chose. I'd been to Tokyo. I'm an Olympian. I didn't need to just go. We wanted to be competitive. We wanted to be better than any Australian had ever been before. So we picked the hard. We picked the hard route because we wanted to try and push how competitive we could be. Australia. You come into weightlifting, look, you come into gymnastics and it's like, we want to win Olympic gold medals. It depends on your coaches and depends on the environment you're in. You go into weightlifting a lot and they say, oh, forget about Olympics. Maybe you'll get to go, well, Commonwealth Games is good. Let's do Commonwealth Games. Oh, don't worry about World Championships medals. We're not good enough for that. So I've really wanted to challenge that mindset in weightlifting. And I wondered why, many, many questions. Why is the mindset so different in weightlifting? And why is it? And I think there's lots and lots and lots of answers to that, lots of factors influencing that. But the reason I've jumped around so much, the classes changed again this year, so 59 became 58. The reasons I've jumped around so much is to be competitive, Ben. I'm not there to just be a part of it. I want to be the best I can be. And I want to push the threshold for what's possible for a girl that's born born and grown up and raised in Australia and working in Australia and juggling everything and see what's possible.
I'm an Olympian. Wouldn't you just love to be able to say that, Hooky?
I've watched the Olympics. Yeah, that's as close as I'll get.
Sometimes I watch the gymnastics and I think I'm an expert in it, to be honest, Kiana, but I'll never be able to say I'm an Olympian. It's truly something you should be so proud of. You mentioned that you did actually, I think you're originally from New South Wales and you moved to South Australia. Can you just explain that move for us and why you came down here?
Yeah, super complicated. But basically, I wanted to go to Tokyo. I really, really wanted to go to the Olympic Games. And the circumstances were I had better opportunities by moving here. So that was a decision I made. I realise now, how old was I? 21, 22. To move interstate away from all your family and your friends and your job and your uni and everyone you know is quite a big thing. But it was something that was an obvious decision for me at the time, and I'm really glad I did. I really love Adelaide. It's quite a beautiful place. So many opportunities here, and now I live and work here, and I don't think I'll ever go back.
Deanna, when we first spoke, you'd never heard of Colonel Light, and you couldn't believe that the floater was something you eat, which I used as the lead line in the first ever story I wrote about you. So have you seen the Colonel Light statue? And number two, have you eaten a floater yet?
Yes and no.
I'm not surprised. It's hard to get down to 59 kilos on a pie floater diet.
This is very true. This is very true. I do know a little bit more about Adelaide now, and I'm no longer calling it the Barton, much to my colleagues' amusement.
Or Keswick. Keswick's another good one that tends to suggest an imposter. You've got a massive event coming up, which is the Worlds in Norway in October. Yep. I think you're around the mark for a podium spot in the snatch in particular. You must be really excited. And I would imagine now you were talking about how you struggled with your motivation at the end of last year or the second half of last year. Mm. I imagine you are really in that vibe now of this is something that I can have an absolute crack at.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to be there in the best possible shape I can be in, but I've also pushed myself pretty damn hard this year. And I know what I need to do to keep perpetuating that, keep holding everything together and keep holding everything in a way that will keep improving the physical thing that will go onto the weightlifting platform and hopefully do those lifts. It's definitely hard graft and I'll need a break at the end of it, but very, very excited. I think Norway is going to be an incredible world championships. I talked about perhaps being in the conversation for a medal. We've looked at, you know, historical results in these classes over the years, and the snatch, the 100 kilo snatch I did is right up there. Now, everyone needs to do the thing on the day. So one being in the conversation versus actually doing is a very, very different thing. However, I think with systems we've got and what we know and what we keep learning will put us in a good spot to see what we can do, to go along there and not just be, you know, Australia in the C group and Australia just there for the sake of being there. I want to be there and be a part of it and be up there and maybe threaten some other people. And instead of, I remember I won those medals at Junior Worlds in 2016 and we sat in anti-doping afterwards and the North Korean coach, because I got silver to North Korea, right? North Korean coach is sitting there next to me. I'm eating red frogs because my mate had given me some red frogs. and he's looking at me, he goes, Australia. Australia? Australia? We work damn hard to be good at what we do. And I think it's something to prove to the world that we can be as good as anyone out there.
Well, Kiana, we wish you all the best in Norway. And I think, Hooky, we're going to claim her as a South Australian and we're so goddamn proud of you and we cannot wait to see what you do next.
Kiana was in Adelaide for a month and I'd already claimed her as a South Australian. this is a foregone conclusion now. Hey, just very quickly, tell me about the new SASSI facility because it must be awesome to train there.
Oh my gosh, it's incredible. It's such a beautiful place. It's just so shiny and exciting and new, and it's the architectural design is gorgeous. It's just a stone's throw from the city. Can you imagine any other state managing that? No, it's an absolutely beautiful place, and it's a privilege to be a part of. I'm really enjoying training there. Little back corner in the gym is where the lifting platforms are, and I can look out and see the CBD. There's grass, a little grassy area, and I just watch the birds jumping around in the trees while I'm training, because there's a lovely, lovely floor to ceiling window. It's an absolutely awesome place. There was an open day there in March, I think it was March. Probably got to come in and have a look and see what's being created there. And I think, yeah, lots of athletes will, it's the breeding ground. It's going to be the breeding ground for lots of athletes to come through and do amazing things for South Australia.
So Kiara and I had a couple of messages going back forth on Saturday night. So this is just hours after she's won this gold medal. And of course, the first thing you do is jump on Instagram and just have a look at the lifts. And Soph, you'll appreciate this. And Kiana, I've got to say, the one thing I love is post lift. And, you know, you've got the three white lights, and we all understand the basics of how it works. But you have this understated, but still visceral, I think was the word I wanted to use, this little underhanded double fist pump that just says, yep, I'm really proud of that, but there's still more to come. And all I can say is that I know, Kiana, that as much as we are so proud of what you've done over the past week, we know there's still so much more to come as well.
Thanks so much, Rookie. I'm super excited from the last week and excited for what's to come too.
She is the Commonwealth champion, not the Commonwealth Games champion. That is still to come, but she's the Commonwealth champion after the event in Ahmedabad, India. And we're looking forward to seeing Kiana Elliott head to the World Championships, which are in Norway in October. Kiana Elliott, thank you so much for your company on Hooked on Sport.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
That's a wrap on another episode of Hooked on Sport. Quick reminder to follow us and leave a review if you enjoy what you hear. Your support helps Hooked on Sport reach more sports-minded people just like you. We appreciate your support and look forward to your company next week on Hooked on Sport.
If you're enjoying this podcast, I'd encourage you to take a listen to Beyond the Club. It's a project I've been working on with Flinders University. Now I co-host it with Professor Sam Elliott, and we break down all the latest research on how to maximise the experience of junior and club athletes. There's a range of resources, special guests, and cutting-edge info on how you can make your club a safer, happier place for your kids and their club mates. Beyond the Club, wherever you get your podcasts.